Welcome to the Envision Rise podcast. I'm Stacey Hagerty, your host and Vice President of Equity and Inclusion for Envision Rise. Joining us today is Ahmad Burse, and he is the corporate coach for veterans at Burse Creative Consulting. Welcome, Ahmad. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Let's dive right in. First of all, why don't you tell our listeners about yourself and then tell us about Burse Creative Consulting?
Well, my name, of course, is Ahmad Burse. And I spent 23 years in the United States Army, and that kind of was my formative years on how I work with people, how I just really interact with others. After doing so, after I retired, I was a teacher for a few years, and then I went into the federal government and the equal employment and opportunity realm. And for the federal government, the EEO program is the basis for the diversity, equity, and inclusion and accessibility programs throughout the federal government. From there, I decided to help and assist veterans in their transitions by becoming a corporate coach for veterans. And that's what I do right now. My goal is to just assist veterans in their transitions because veterans have unique challenges, and who else better than a veteran that's kind of been in their shoes to assist them getting to their next step.
Let's talk about what some of those special circumstances are for veterans. And it's not all bad, of course. So, what kinds of things are you working with veterans on so that they can make their transition back into civilian life a little easier?
I think some of the greatest challenges for veterans is transfer. Well, upon leaving the military, a shift in identity. And I know it sounds odd, but to no longer being a soldier, it's not a career, it's a lifestyle. In leaving the military and that lifestyle change, you losing your title, that can be a little bit overwhelming. So that's a challenge in itself, just trying to find viable employment. I think from the veterans that I've worked with and spoken with, sometimes they kind of don't realize the value they can bring to an organization. And because they don't know how to articulate the transference of those skills, just assist them in that. And then later on, within arriving at an organization, coaching them through, well, these are some of the things you need to do. You need to be aware of the organizational culture. Some of the things that made you effective as a veteran, they can make you effective in other organizations, but you got to know where it is and how to kind of employ it within whatever career field you're pursuing.
Yeah, I know. From my perspective, it seems like you get that DD-214 and not much else when you leave, that it's sort of kind of almost this void that you go into for a little while.
You said the DD-214, and for those who don't know what a DD-214 is, upon exiting the military, the DD-214 is a document that has all of the major accomplishments you've had, things that you've done. It just has a lot of different information, and you need that DD-214 to apply for things like benefits and things of that nature. But I laugh because it's like the DD-214 says that I'm done. It's like you get it and you like wave it around like, hey, I don't have to deal with you anymore. So, yeah, for a lot of folks. And I think people don't understand how to read the DD-214. There's a lot of information on it, like as to what were the circumstances from you transitioning. That's a part of it also. So I think, yeah, the DD-214 isn't the get out of jail free card, but you need to know how to interpret it.
And I used to work in higher education, and it's important to hang on to that document because you're applying for financial aid, yeah. I mean, whether you're going into a career or if you've decided that you're going to get some more training, you need that document. So what I've seen happen for some veterans is exactly what you talked about a little bit here. And I'd like to dive into that a little bit more, that taking your experience from the military and translating it into a civilian resume takes some skill, and it takes some massaging, I think, of the language that's used.
Absolutely.
Because oftentimes the language in the military is completely different than that used out in the civilian sector, but the skills are the same.
Yes, yes.
So what do you recommend that veterans do when they're starting to prepare that first civilian resume?
I'm going to give a shameless plug to Hire Heroes USA. So then it's an organization, a nonprofit that assists veterans. And I worked with Hire Heroes when I was transitioning, and they really helped me to articulate my skill sets. So then I recommend that. But one of the things that I also recommend, if you're applying for a position, make sure whatever that position requirements are, because a lot of times when you're looking at the position you're applying for, it tells you what they need. So say, listen, you need X amount of experience here. We need someone that can do A, B, C, and D. You need to make sure that your resume reflects that. I mean, you may have done all these grandiose things. The person who's reviewing that resume of yours to see if you're, you know, a viable candidate doesn't care about all that. Mm-hmm. They want to know that you can come to this organization and, you know, you can meet the requirements within this and be effective. Sometimes when you're submitting an application for employment, less is better. You don't need to have all that, you know, because someone's not going to sit there and read through that. Okay, you joined the Army in this time, then you went to this, and then you done that. I think sometimes veterans forget that. And I think they need to learn how to take out that military talk. I've been on hiring panels as an equal employment opportunity person. In some organizations, they have the EEO sitting there in a hiring panel to make sure that everything's on board. And I've heard very viable candidates, very senior level persons say, oh yeah, I led this, and using all these acronyms and doing this. And it's like, oh wow. And then they leave and I hear the persons in the panel discussing, it's like, well, you know, use a lot of military verbiage. And it's like, if you can't articulate how effective you're able to do things, then how can you be a leader in our organization? It's like, because the employees are going to look at you like, oh wow, you know, we're not in the service, we're not in the military. So, I mean, there's a lot of little things that you can do, and it is a mind shift. It's a shift, but it's a necessary shift, but it's not that bad. So
I think it's really hard sometimes for employers to look at resumes if they've not been in the military themselves and understand exactly what it is they're looking at. And they're passing up really great employees because they're not understanding how the military experience is translating so well actually into the private sector or even into the government sector. During the interview process, what do you think candidates can do to make sure that they are kind of doing the work for the employer, because we can't rely on an employer to go and learn all the military jargon, kind of walk the path with them a little bit to help them understand?
And I will say, number one, I'm not going to tell anyone to do something I didn't do myself. So then, with the exception of actually getting a coach to coach you through it, I would say YouTube is available. There's a lot of different resources of Veterans Affairs. There's a lot of resources available to help that veteran translate and be able to come across as effective in that interview. And I think for some people, you know, that interview is really important. Nowadays, we're doing interviews via, you know, Skype, not Skype. Mm-hmm. Skype's old news, but
Teams.
Yeah, it's like, so you come across in Teams and, you know, just little things. I think anytime I've done something, I've gone all the way with it. So then whenever I left the military and I was teaching veterans, I tell them, hey, listen, I don't care if it's telephonic or it's a video conference. If you're wear a suit and wear the complete suit, don't wear half the suit from the top up. Wear the complete suit, the shoes, all that. And I got pushback from some veterans like, well, they can't see us anyway, but it's the mindset. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I've heard the saying that people can hear you smile over the telephone. And it's true. Yep. They can hear how you communicate. And the last thing you want to do is to be in an interview and you're desperate for a job or you got these other things going on, because that comes across. So, you know, going back to your question, like how can they prepare? Practice, you got YouTube. There's plenty of resources available. I mean, if you're going for on the federal side, the Office of Personnel Management has interviewing techniques, just things that are contained within there. And as I said before, if I'm going to do something, I do it all the way. And I'd encourage you to go all the way. Don't, excuse the French, half-ass it. Mm-hmm. Because that will come across in the interview. If you're in, you know, for me, it's like, if you're going to practice in the suit that you're going to wear, practice in everything, because it all counts. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't fit right, then you're going to be fidgeting. If things aren't setting well with you, it all comes across in the interview. And for some folks, it might be esoteric, but it's not. It very much is. Hey, listen, mm-hmm. you know, because you're competing with all these other people that still want the same position. So you have to make sure that you're in the correct mindset, looking your best, most effective, to say, hey, listen, this is, I'm a value. I'll be a value to your organization.
I think that's such good advice about how you get yourself in the mindset, especially since COVID and so many of us have stayed with remote work that it's very easy to get into, okay, well, I'll just wear my sweatpants, but I'll have my on-screen top ready to go. Yeah. And there really is a difference. I can tell the difference on days when I'm not dressed up to be on a video as opposed to the days that I am.
When I left the military, I realized that a suit really makes you, it's like your body armor. It's like a superhero uniform to me. That's what I tell folks. It's like, it's, I'm putting on my Superman outfit, because putting on a well-fitting suit, it just makes me feel different. And I try to communicate that to the clients, the folks that I've coached, like, listen, make the investment, get you something nice, because you're not going, you know, this won't be your last interview. So make sure that you're bringing your best to it.
You mentioned earlier about once someone has the job that you work with them, kind of transitioning into the organization and what to expect. What are some of the challenges that you see for folks coming right out of the military into civilian work? That's kind of a cultural difference. I would assume there are many cultural differences between the military and civilian work.
I'll talk about two main things. And that's like the first in regards to culture is the values. So like when I was in the Army, my core values were loyalty, duty, respect, self-service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. Everyone's Army core values are the same because that's the values. So then whenever you're doing something, you do things with those values in mind. Everyone's on the same sheet of music. Hey, listen, if you step out of that, someone's going to ask you, hey, integrity check, you were supposed to do A, B, C, and D, or it's your duty to do this. When you transition into the out from the military, even within the civilian, whether it's the federal government or on the civilian side, or not the civilian side, but the private side, or the private side, those values may not be there. And so it can be a little challenging. It's a shift because in the military, you're supposed to get off at 5 o'clock and there's still 30 or 40 minutes worth of work to be done. Then you complete that work because that's just the way it is. Whereas on the civilian side, there may be reasons why you need to stop at 5 o'clock. Hey, we can't pay you. Or the other issue is that people just stop at 5 o'clock. I mean, that's like, hey, and I think that's an important shift. But I think it's important for that military or that person that's transitioned to realize that you don't have to do that anymore. It's nothing wrong with being an effective employee, but those sorts of sacrifices aren't needed because tomorrow's another day. And so that's something that's really important. And then the other thing I talk that I think is important for folks transitioning, I talk about three things. There are three things that every military transition person needs to have. And number one is they need to understand what coaching is in regards to in your job, what a sponsor is and what a mentor is. There are different things. So then a coach is someone that's specifically designed to kind of help you perform your duties. And if you're new to it, you might want to find a coach. And you also need to find a mentor. And that mentor may or not be someone that's a formal mentor. You know, someone that's been down the path that you want to go to, and someone can give you some advice. And sometimes that mentor may not be someone that you have a formal conversation with, but it might be someone within an agency that you see, hey, listen, this person's moving, they're doing these things, I want to emulate that person. And then a sponsor. A sponsor is someone that legitimately is a quid pro quo relationship, not in a sexual way, but saying that person is going to support you and get your names into places that you may not be able to be. Mm-hmm. However, when they need your assistance or they need your support, they're going to be expecting that. So I think they got to understand, you know, these are some of the things that take place outside of the military, because you'll have some of those same, I'd say, persons assuming those roles in the military, but it's really different when you're not in. So yes, those.
Excellent.
That's those things that I say.
Let's talk about employers. What can they do to support their veteran employees? For so many organizations, it's sort of like, well, we observe Veterans Day and that's about it. What can they really be doing to help the especially newly transitioning veterans into civilian life and into the private sector that may be different than what they need to do with their employees who have never served?
I would say me and a good friend of mine were talking about Veterans Day, and we were talking, and we're both veterans, and you know, people always say thank you for your service, and it's like it's grateful to be acknowledged for your service, but at the same time, do they really understand? It's like, hey, as opposed to thank you for your service, thank you for your sacrifice. Because a lot of times veterans aren't home during holidays, you know, they're missing things. And don't get me wrong, it's a choice. I rose my right hand. I wanted to serve my country. So then what could employers do? And I think the important thing is to give that veteran the space to grow and provide a space for them to be themselves. I think a lot of times employers don't know how to kind of, the same way you treat any other employee, you treat a veteran, just realize their services and their circumstances are different. Mm-hmm. And that's the important thing. If there's a space for them to grow, to be effective, I think sometimes whenever you get veterans in an organization, especially when they just transition, they're a little rough around the edges because they're not accustomed to trying to get someone to do something. It's like, hey, I told you to do it, go and execute. Well, you can't talk to people like that. That's first and foremost. And then the other part about it is you're creating a hostile environment because you're not willing to change. You're not willing to adapt to what's going on. So then in giving that veteran that opportunity and maybe assigning them a coach or a mentor that they can, you know, bounce things off of, mm-hmm. to help them stay in due bounds, help them, you know, stay within the lines until they are able to, you know, get out on their own. I think that's important. And if that veteran doesn't have one there, then they need to find someone that can help them to stay there. Because a lot of times, from my experience, it's not that the person can't do the job. It's not that they're not effective, but they may have to do some resocializing, understanding that, hey, if someone comes late, then you work with them on being late. Not, well, you know, hey, you're late. So now, because in the military, there's a lot of leeway, but there's not second chances for things that you should know better at doing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, being on time or at least contacting your employer to let them know what's going on with you, that's a no-brainer. But in some instances, it's not.
It's funny that you bring up the being on time piece. I mentioned I used to work in higher education and we often hired veterans as instructors. Mm-hmm. And that was probably one of the biggest things that I saw the instructors who had been in the military struggle with, is that college students don't show up on time. And sometimes there are good reasons for that. Oftentimes, there are no reasons for that. And they really had a hard time with making that mind shift into, this isn't the military. Yeah. And they really did want to go to kind of that military stand. Yeah, there were a couple of times where I thought one of the instructors was going to have them do push-ups.
It's funny you say that, because I was an adjunct instructor at a local college. I taught career development as well as information technology. And I love teaching career development because I had the opportunity, they gave me the leeway to help students like to think out of the box. It's like, mm-hmm. I mean, one of the exercises, it's like, I want you to write 100 things you want to accomplish before you die. And I gave them extra credit for it because I wanted to get them to thinking like, hey, listen, this doesn't, you know, where you're at right now doesn't mean that you're going to stay there. But in any instance, I had students that were right out of high school. So they would do things. Some of them would, they try you. And one of the things was, I guess when they're in high school, they go take a bathroom break and then just walk the halls. And I'm like, so the first time I'm like, fine. The second time, I was like, listen, and I had everyone in the classroom. I was like, let me explain something to you. I don't care if you're not in this class. You're paying for this. And you have to have those honest conversations. Like, listen, if you fail this class, you're going to have to pay for this. I'm going to do my best, but you're an adult. You're not a child. So you go ahead and walk the halls and do whatever you want to. But just realize you're going to have to pay for this in one way or another. And I think the ability to have those frank conversations. And they knew I was dead serious. I wasn't, you know, sugarcoating anything. It's like, hey, you don't turn in your assignments, or you turn in something that you put no effort in, I'm going to give you that grade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first couple of weeks, they're kind of like, and then they realize that, oh, he's dead serious. I'm not going to play all these games with you. That is a shift, but you just got to know how to. And plus, I was a drill sergeant. So I still have some of that in me, too. Like, I'm not yelling and fussing at folks, but I can. You know, I can flip on something like, well, you're so mild-mannered. It's like, yeah, mild-mannered. I'm going to show you mild-mannered.
All right, that's awesome.
Yes.
So my last question is, why should organizations be actively looking to hire veterans?
The reason why our organization should be actively looking to hire veterans is loyalty. So then in this era, especially what I've seen in, is it the Gen Z reserve? I've seen candidates for employment get the job and ghost the place they want to hire them. It's like, and it amazes me. It's like, hold on, so you got the job and you just, you know, you got an opportunity. Well, you know, I wanted to do something else. So then I think the thing about it is, you know, loyalty works both ways. And if an organization puts the time in the maybe helping that veteran develop, showing them what's important in their organization, communicating that organization's values, whatever that mission statement, because that's how a lot of veterans operate. Well, what's the mission? You know, what are we doing here? And if you can articulate to that to veterans and get them on board and help them as they process through, then you're going to have someone that's going to stay, whether through the rough times, through the easy times, you'll have someone, and that's what you need. And you can develop that person to be a leader in your organization to take it to the next level. So that's what I would say.
You said, what's the mission? And I think that's such an important question, not only for candidates to ask, but it's an important one for organizations to be asking of themselves. If they can't articulate their own mission to a potential candidate or to their employees, they're not going to get where they want to go because they don't know where they're going.
Absolutely.
So I think that's great advice. Well, Ahmad Burse, where can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can reach, I'm on LinkedIn. There's only one of me on LinkedIn. Or you can reach me, I'm at burseconsulting.com. But the name of my organization is Burse Creative Consulting. So then that's how you can reach me.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate the conversation and we hope that you'll come back and join us again.
Anytime. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Subscribe, rate, and review the show, and be a part of making a difference, because it starts with you.